Make It Right, the manufacturing podcast.
Welcome to the Make It Right podcast. I'm Janet Eastman, and this week on the show, we're going to be discussing supply chain management with Vineet Khurana, who is a global operations and supply chain leader and an expert in vendor collaboration and compliance. So, hello, Vineet. Welcome, and thanks very much for joining us today.
No, pleasure is mine.
So, Vineet, your background is supply chain and operations transformation from a retail and a consumer packaged goods background, and you have global experience across international markets, America, Asia, Europe, and Africa. So, can you just give us a bit of a background on your career and expertise so that we have an understanding of your breadth of knowledge?
Sure. One of the unique things about, you know, my career has been this global exposure. But I normally call this not just an exposure because I had the opportunity to actually live in these countries and work in these countries, you know, not just travel and then see from the surface. So I started my career with Unilever India. So I worked about 5 years with them, doing different sides of manufacturing and operations, different plants, R&D. And then I moved on to Europe with another company, PZ Cousins. And then I was asked to go to Indonesia because they were developing Asia as their world-class sourcing center. So I went there for a small stint, but then it happened to be a stint of my life, I would say, you know, where I ended up being there for 7 years and set up Indonesia as a head of sourcing, as a world-class sourcing center to supply the products to our sister company in UK and Australia and Middle East. And then the 2 years after that, which was 2007, I moved to Kenya as a regional head of supply chain for East Africa, where I handled the end-to-end supply chain for PZ Cousins. And then I left Kenya and PZ Cousins and moved to Canada. Because I had the immigration to come to Canada, and which we decided probably makes sense at that point of time in life to move for good. And then when I moved to Canada, I didn't know what to do, and I ended up in retail. And since then, I've been involved in retail sites. So I worked with Loblaws in supply chain, set up the quality and compliance for Shoppers Drug Mart, handled private label brand for a year and a half, and then joined Walmart as a head of product safety and compliance, and then did end-to-end supply chain work. So I was very excited to be back in the logistics world with the biggest retailer and learned a lot. And then I was always questioning in my mind, what is it that I can do next? And then I came across this startup, and then just the last couple of weeks, I've been with them and as their vice president of global operations. So the plan is to learn and implement, you know, whatever I've learned actually, and implement to take them to next level. So I'm very excited, and I hope it gives a quick brief of my background.
Yeah, that's great. So the new company that you're with is now called Low Carb Canada.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Okay. So
that's the operating name, and we do a couple of other brands as well, you know, like Zerudel and stuff like that.
Okay. So you have a huge amount of knowledge. So let's get to some of the information you can share with our listeners. In your opinion, from what you've seen, what are some of the biggest challenges manufacturers have, and how can they overcome them?
See, from my perspective, you know, some of the biggest challenges these manufacturers face these days is, A, for sure, the cost goes, you know, without saying much about it, because, you know, if you don't have the right price, then obviously it's hard to stay in the business. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, that's why we saw there was a big push in the recent I won't say recent past now, a few years ago, you know, when everyone won't move to Asia because of the cost. And with all the trade barriers disappearing, then, you know, this whole global manufacturing became the norm. Although recently we have seen some pushback where all the tariffs are kicking in, and then I'm sure that's going to affect some of the manufacturing as well. So it is important to figure out how, you know, these manufacturers stay on top of the cost. And then I've seen from my past experience that, you know, we always had to stay on top of margin improvement. You know, how can we reduce the cost of goods? The other piece which I think has been the biggest challenge is people call it quality, but I normally like to call it consistency, because I think we can all make good product at one point of time. But how do we maintain the quality of those products? And in today's world, the safety and compliance has become a big thing, because when you're a local manufacturer, you tend to understand the regulations pretty well. But when you're global, then understanding global regulations becomes a challenge. And the third piece is this whole supply chain visibility. You know, I mean, the customers these days demand very high service level. And with that comes high level of visibility. And the way technology is coming up these days, it's becoming a challenge to cope up. It's helping, it's enabling, but at the same time, you don't know what you don't know, because there's so many solutions out there. So that I think is going to be the biggest challenge on how do we leverage technology more, especially from manufacturing perspective, to provide that visibility.
Right.
Does that answer your question?
Yeah. Like, I understand cost is absolutely one of the key problems, because nobody wants to pay more for something than they have to. But everything has to stay within a certain consistency or quality, because nobody wants to pay a lot for something that they don't think is worth it. And then you're right. How do you keep that visibility across the supply chain to know that everything is working properly, so you can deliver on those two things? So is the quality of production similar across global manufacturers, or are there some areas where people are better at staying on and keeping their products within spec and consistent?
Definitely, and that's where I think you tend to differentiate between good manufacturers and bad manufacturers, because there's always a pushback on manufacturing side, you know, to give better cost all the time from retailers, from other customers, you know, from if you're dealing with big, you know, private label retailers these days. The challenge becomes how can they maintain the cost and still providing the quality. So I have often seen that, you know, where generally suppliers start looking at cheaper materials, or, you know, some sort of, you know, shortcuts in the processes or the technology, and all these things ultimately lead to degradation in quality or consistency. So if we are not, or if the customer is not on top of these things can go out of hand pretty quick. And the scale of the manufacturer matters a lot, because if you're dealing with an established manufacturer, then obviously they have more appetite to take care of the cost, to take care of these challenges. The small manufacturers, when they come under this pressure, then they try to take shortcuts, and the quality generally goes back quicker. So it depends what you ask for, what you pay for, and that's what you get.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that the offshoring that we saw, say, 10 years ago, or however long it was ago now, did that backfire on us, do you think?
I think to some extent, yes, but I won't blame offshoring completely. I rather sometimes blame these big customers, the way they push for cost, mm-hmm. Trying to save a few cents here and there, and then, you know, because this is how they compete, right? All these big retailers. And the manufacturers are generally the same, similar. Mm-hmm. If, let's say, two big retailers are sourcing from same supplier, and then they keep putting pressure on cost, ultimately, you are forcing the supplier or manufacturers to take shortcuts. So, and I don't know, it's very hard to say, depending on what sector of manufacturing you're in, what's the sweet spot. But at the same time, you know, I think it's not just offshoring, it's the pressure from the customers.
Right.
And that can same can happen even for local manufacturers. You know, if you keep pressing for cost, a point would come where they'll start taking shortcuts.
Yeah. Yeah. And well, in a previous episode of the Make It Right podcast, Kevin Snook was talking about how valuable customer complaints can be to a manufacturer. And so if customers are complaining about the quality of a product or something, but one of the issues is the fact that because of cost constraints, you know, the manufacturer is actually trying to bring costs down, but that's affecting the quality. You've got this, I mean, it's a bit like a dog chasing its tail. Like, I don't know how you catch up and find, as you say, that sweet spot.
Yeah, customer complaints is a great way, and it's one of my favorites. You know, even when if you have, or if people or the manufacturers have, who have experience with ISO, you know, understand the value of that, because everything starts from there. The voice of customer, you know, what customers are talking about your products, what sort of, you know, and how can we capture that feedback better can lead to a lot of improvement. And that's where I believe the focus has to be, as we keep pressurizing manufacturing more and more for cost and consistency, that how can we share more of this type of feedback back to manufacturing. And that goes even for retailers as well. You know, and I've worked on both sides, and I often say that, you know, it's important to have that level of collaboration and communication going on between manufacturers, because we are closer to the customer as retailers. And if we can give that feedback back to them, then there's a better chance of improvement rather than just, you know, going and pushing for cost all the time. Because in today's world, I think the consumers have got more appetite to pay a little bit extra cost if the consistency is there. I don't know how you feel about it, but I see that. Mm-hmm. As a consumer, I'm ready to pay extra a little bit if I know this product is of good quality consistently.
Right. What do you see as some of the best practices, or what have you seen developed that helps, you know, those customer complaints quickly get relayed back to the manufacturer so that that issue can get sorted out quite quickly and everybody can be happy?
I think the vendor collaboration and supplier collaboration, you know, and the retailers who are good at it, or even the manufacturers who have set up this supplier collaboration with their, whether they're using third parties or they're using their raw and packaging material suppliers, the more, and most of them who are advanced, I think, if they can set up some sort of forums where they can push this feedback and then, you know, have regular dialogues with their manufacturing or with their suppliers, I think the better it is. I have seen the forums that I touched upon working very well, where you post the data every, you know, whatever frequency you think is right. But at the same time, you know, have some sort of accountability attached to it. Like, you know, you can't solve 100 problems overnight, but what are the top 2-3 problems that are causing big issue? And if we can be good at identifying that and hold the manufacturers and suppliers accountable, then I think we have a better chance of solving the problems and achieve more benefit by focusing on less versus trying to, you know, solve everything.
Right.
Because there's a lot of noise in these complaints, and that's where we can be good at or be better at in terms of filtering that noise versus what is the real problem.
Right. So overall, supplier collaboration, you have to get the players all working together, but you all have to be working sort of on the same thing and not running around trying to solve a million problems all at one time.
Absolutely. And I think that's why supplier collaboration becomes very important. It's not just one-way communication. It has to be a two-way communication. Then only it's a collaboration. It's not just saying, oh, I work all with all my suppliers, but if at the same time you're just pushing them all the time for cost or quality or complaints, then that's not collaboration. It's hearing their view as well and seeing what things they're working on and how can we help them do better as customers.
You're listening to the Make It Right podcast. I'm Janet Eastman, and my guest has been Vineet Khurana, who is a global operations and supply chain leader and an expert in vendor collaboration and compliance. We're going to continue our conversation next time on the Make It Right podcast, when we're going to talk about digitization within the supply chain and how to achieve operational excellence in this fast-moving world. I hope you'll join us then. Thanks for listening to the Make It Right podcast.